Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is March 23rd, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. And you need to listen up, folks, because there is so much evil that is walking the earth because we are in that time of the end. But on another note, let's thank our listener base that's in places like Beijing, China, Nairobi, Kenya, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, and places in the United States as Cleveland, Ohio, St. Paul, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, and that's just to name a few, of course. Try to recognize everybody at least once. And Wichita, Kansas, which is still the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. And they go to podcast between 9 Central and 11 p.m. Central tonight. So you can look on the website for that. Share it with your friends. Now, now it's time for a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray for your covering over this radio program tonight. I pray that you keep the bad things away and just allow the good to come through. I pray the radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, last week we started talking about Bible codes. There was so much there, and we didn't even it seemed like we went around and covered a lot of things, but we covered a lot of things spread out, and there's even more. Anyway, our guest went and even found out more from the codes, and so here we are. We're speaking more about it tonight. We're trying to get to, I don't know what it is we're trying to get to, but we're back. So we're bringing back on with us Tom Mack, who is a school principal and owner at White Cottage Publishing Company, and he lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He is an A-plus certified computer technician, A-net-plus certified network technician, as well as a book designer, webmaster, web designer. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, IT manager and controller. We should also mention at one time, so he was a tax specialist. That really gives us an insight because that says he's really good with numbers. He's not a fly-by-night person. He is very well suited to doing these Bible codes and is a very, very credible witness. Tom started his research with Bible codes in 1996. That is 20 years plus of code research. Tonight, we will start looking at where the codes may be leading us. And it, to me, it sounds like what? An adventure. So welcome back, Tom. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we covered a lot, which really amazed me. But you know what? Then after the program, you said you did some more work. You found some more. Lead us into that.
Well, the first thing I did, I felt like with the one code, I just started it and gotten maybe 20 words into it, while I've gotten about 20 more words into it. I've also done another code on the same subject, which is pretty rare for me. Usually I spread around, do studies on a lot of different things as I have time. You know, like I say, I run a publishing company, and we publish books for people. You got a manuscript, we can turn it into a book. And we do a real nice job with it. In fact, I understand you're going to have Major Baird on soon, and you will like that. He's one of our heroes.
Well, I am.
And, you know,
well, with Major Baird, it looks like he had something to do with the very beginning of the Internet.
Yes, he did. He, you know, the Army assigned him to come up with a communication system so that, you know, there would not be any gaps between when it was sent and when it would get there. Because communications is very important to an Army. And he didn't understand it at the time, and boy, the devil did everything they could to try to stop him.
Wow.
I mean, he had apparitions all over the place, demons challenging him, challenging his employees, but he had a thing. He was the first time a captain and the second time a major. He was the commander of it, so he was in a unique position of authority to take authority over those evil spirits,
right,
get them out of his working place.
Yeah,
and in fact, the place where he was working, when they sent him there, they told him, it's haunted. Because Fort Monroe has a rather torrid history about it. And I know that because the lady who helped me start this publishing company, her name was Mary Joanne Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad was a big commander of TRADOC, which is the training command of the Army. And he was stationed there. And she married her first husband there. So I knew already this was a nasty place to get sent. A lot of soldiers would be asking their superiors, why are you sending me here? It's haunted. But after Major Baird got done, it wasn't haunted anymore.
Well, amen.
Amen.
It sounds like he's got quite a story, and we're going to be sure to have him on, and hopefully we've got several subjects then to talk to him about. That in itself sounds like a radio program. Of course, with me, brother, about everything is a radio program because I like to talk about it. But anyway, let's go back to this code. I'm really fascinated with this code. So you went back, and what words, I know what words you used, but for the people, what words did you use?
Well, the most interesting thing I started finding in this one is I found the word vampire.
Yeah.
I started finding the word blood all over the code. I only put one of them in there because it connected to another word, poison.
Yeah.
And, wow, I started looking at that and realizing, made me think of something Olaf Hagee and I had talked about before he died. And that was blood poisoning and how they could use that to, because people don't realize the blood is the container for your soul. But
right,
life is in the blood.
Amen.
But that word life is the Hebrew word nefesh, means soul. So the soul is in your blood. So if the devil wants to mess with your soul, what's the best way to do it? Contaminate the place where the soul is.
Mm-hmm.
So that they go after the blood. And for a lot of you who don't know what vampirism is about, It is a blood contamination. And when that blood becomes contaminated, they have to get more blood and more blood from various sources just to keep themselves alive. And I don't know if you've ever had Bill Schnebelin on.
Oh, I've known, yeah, let me say something about him. I've known Bill Schnebelin since when he first started talking with the Prophecy Club way back. So I've known Bill for many years. Go on.
And he talks about the vampirism issue and how he had fallen into the deepest part of that. But the Lord delivered him. But that's what the devil's hoping for, is that you don't know that the Lord's there to deliver you.
Yeah,
but there is an opening. And the devil uses that. Because if he can contaminate the soul, remember the soul is the container of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And if the devil can get in there and corrupt one or even all three of them, suddenly you have somebody who's easily controlled, easily managed. And literally, they will do things that a normal person wouldn't do. And I think every day you see the fruits of people who've made very bad decisions, decisions they shouldn't have made, and decisions that didn't make any sense. And sometimes it's hard to realize. But this is an actual program.
Right.
From the beginning, the devil has always wanted to somehow corrupt God's creation. He hates God's creation. He hates everything about us. So what does he do? He works on ways to corrupt human beings. And the number one way is to go after the blood. And that's what I was looking for as I kept going into these codes, was what are you after, devil? What are you trying to do? What are you after? And sure enough, you see blood, you see opium, you see terror, you see witchcraft, you see amulets. They use amulets to cast spells. And of course, you have the little black rock, also known as Allah, which still is in a little booth in Mecca, in the middle of on the west side of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And Mecca's going to be an interesting story in a few years, because the Iranians keep threatening that they're going to go into Saudi Arabia and take Mecca. So that, because the Saudi Arabians do not like the Shiites, and so they give them very, very limited access to Mecca, and of course that doesn't make them very happy, and they're quite willing to go to war over it. There's one thing I've learned over the years. We see so much as Islamic violence. We just saw it a day ago in London. But what the Islamics hate is each other more than anything. The Shiites consider the Sunnis corruptors and vice versa. And even that is a corrupting thing. Music is a corrupting thing. And somehow they figured out how to use music to corrupt people. I mean, You can't go anywhere without listening to this music. You go to Walmart or you go to the grocery store or something, and it just fills the place you want to get out of there as quick as you can. You know, you'd like to think you could enjoy doing a little shopping and looking around the stuff, but with the music you hear, I just want to get my stuff, get out. And you know, it's interesting, a lot of these brick-and-mortar places are falling apart because of this. It's easier to go on Amazon and order your stuff now.
Right, but, right, absolutely. The brick and mortars are going out. The malls, like we have two major ones in Wichita, although I don't live there, but anyway, Wichita, and we were just the other day to pick something up, and there were a bunch of stores that were going out of business, Dillard's and some other things, and some smaller ones. They're just they're going away, you know. It's a disaster.
Well, as they say, do you want to go into a mall and get beat up or something? I mean, I hear stories about that all the time. I've had it happen to some of my friends. And
Well, I do, but you know, that is a disaster. That, I mean, yeah, get beat up. Let's say or the or something. I actually think that the or something is, I think, and I think it's also the problem with people falling off from going to the movies. I think they're afraid to go to large public gatherings of people because of all the terrorism. That I don't think that they want to be trapped in it. At least wise, that was with my wife and I. In fact, she said it before me. She says, that's it. You know, about a year ago, she said, that's it. We're staying out of all the big, huge public places, you know, at least when they're busy, because I'm not going to be slaughtered and my family isn't. Back to you.
Yes. You know, she's out showing her wifely instincts to preserve her family. You know, I don't, how many children do you have?
Well, I have four children. My last one is 16 years old, sitting here next to me. But the others are grown. Yeah, well, he's recording what we're putting out. He's recording. He's sitting over there listening to us. But I have 13 grandchildren right now. And so, you know, I have that. And then I have other people that are extended family. But it's consistently growing.
But, you know, she has a, especially with those four children, they've spent 9 months really close to her. And that's just something that it changes a woman. Every time this child comes into the world, it changes her. And she has that instinct to protect. And you get into, you go to Arrowhead Stadium or something, or even just go to Wichita State game.
Right.
I understand they're still in the NCAA tournament. And all it would take is for somebody to do something crazy in one of those places.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely. I mean, just like the, and they're not, they don't even have to use, they can use a car. They, like the guy yesterday, you know, in London, he could use a car and a knife. You know, it's accessible. And Wichita, while Kansas for the most part isn't, you know, kind of like a sanctuary place, but Wichita, Kansas, you know, has a lot of refugees and things like that there, and it's growing all the time. And so, you know, I that's where our mission church is. But even though it's in one of the very worst parts of town, you know, it's the Father's house, and it feels safe there. But it's sure not safe around it and in the city, you know, with all these different migrants there.
Yes, and we've got them most everywhere in this country. We've sort of been fortunate here, but we have a rather strong Hispanic population, and for the most part, I've seen a lot of the Hispanic people here, very nice, very caring people. They look after everybody, and they're good people. Mm-hmm. For the most part. And you know, we get a few Mexicans that come up in here, but usually they're on their way to Denver or some other place.
Right, right.
So the only time they stop here is if they need marijuana, because unfortunately Colorado is, marijuana is legal here, and we have 28 pot stores in Trinidad.
Right. Trinidad, is that a very big city?
We're about 10,000 people.
Yeah. Technically,
so, you know, it's not real big metropolis, but
right. Now, our mission church is in Wichita, Kansas. It's 500,000 people or more. where I actually live at, though, away from here, there I live in a city that has less than 500 houses, and I really like it. It's quiet. Anyway, let's look at this. Anyway, this code that you used is ancient evil.
Right.
I want to point that out. Now, so what do you, you know, what prompted you to use ancient evil? And do you have any what ancient evil is? I know I have my own thought on what I think it is because I broke the words down. So I'd like to hear from you and we'll think about
it. Okay, well, ancient evil is actually something that a couple of people have brought up to me. And they've given me what they thought. But, no, you know, the first problem is ancient evil is not something that you can read about in the Bible. It's not, those two words are never together. So you're really dealing with something that's nebulous to begin with. But I started getting questions on it, and I didn't have answers. And I'm not a person that likes not having answers. I feel like when I don't have an answer, I don't know how to deal with something. So fortunately, we have a way to get answers. And in this case, we have codes, so we can go through and we can find those answers. And we can get those. And when I get an answer, I can put it on the website, and everybody else can read it too. And if they got ideas, there's ways to contact me, to share your ideas with me. And I've gotten some very good ideas from people who have sent me things out. And sometimes I've even been corrected on a few things. Years ago when Bush and Gore were running, I actually said on a radio program that I didn't see any sense in running an election code. Gore was going to win, so why should I waste my time looking at a code? Well, some lady wrote me a scathing letter. And sure enough, I took it as a rebuke and a proper one, and so I started doing the research, and now the election is over, and nobody knew who it won. And so I decided maybe it's time to do some research, so I started running both names.
Well, we have to go to a break. That's the thing about being, we're not just a podcast, we're actually on a radio station. So we got about 30 seconds before break. So please give them the website that you want them to go to, and we'll take 3 minutes and come back.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, it's BibleCodes.co, CO for Colorado, which is where I'm at. It's BibleCodes.co.
Okay, yeah. Folks, you heard him. He's in Colorado, so you know where to send a nuclear missile to, right? Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Right back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. We help so many people. People come from all over the city for miracle prayers, for Bibles, for food, for clothing, first aid. You know, I have people walk out walk in with huge cuts on them that they needed to go to the doctor because of the wound. And I literally put them together with butterfly stitches, something that should add major surgery. But of course, at the same time, I laid hands on them and prayed that it would work. We have been doing this for, we'll start our 18th year in June. And so over this period of time, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people. We've given out thousands of thousands upon thousands of Bibles, large print King James Bibles. I can't tell you how many prayers that we have given on people. In fact, I can't even go anywhere in Wichita to any of the Walmarts or any of the major, you know, where there's a lot of people that somebody don't go, hey, Pastor Dan, remember me? You did this for me, or blah, 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 you know. And so, folks, what I'm trying to say is it's by faith, because you know what? Messiah's Branch is, you know, it's a family mission church. And let me tell you what, we spend down to the very last dime of our pockets, if that's what the need be, is to take care of somebody. But what, by faith, we believe that it's the Father's money and He will replace it. But so where does that come from? Of course, it all comes from the Father, but the Father uses people. And that's people like you that listen to us on radio. We used to do a newsletter, but my newsletter is so outdated that I get on the internet that it doesn't bring very much in anymore, because people, well, they switch to Facebook, and Facebook isn't a place to raise money. And so where's it come from? It mostly comes from you folks that are listening on radio. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And if you don't want to support the Wichita Mission Church, pray about supporting radio airtime so programs like this can keep going. We can put people on that are interesting to you, that teaches you something, because we are in that time of the end. But remember, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. Find all that information at prophecyhour.com, or simply call me and we can take your donation. So pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Anyway, and now we're back with Tom Mack, and we're talking about Bible codes and a little bit about ancient evil. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, I am. And it's been interesting. As I said, we were getting to the break, I was talking, what I didn't realize, this reporter had put one of my codes on a new Spanish speaking newspaper in Dade County, Florida. And it had said that Al Gore was connected to the Antichrist system. And what happened? A lot of people who would have voted Democrat didn't that particular time. But the way I saw it was, I started looking up George W. Bush's name, and I saw him doing presidential stuff. You know, like visiting countries and signing bills, just things like that. And I said, there's our next president. And sure enough, he won. And it was, and I knew it about a week and a half before they finally decided it. And these, right, as I say, the codes, they're just not on the paper. They sometimes reach out and change things and adjust things. And I think in this case, for the better, though I'm no fan of the Bush family any more than I'm a fan of Al Gore, because both of them have been into some very, very evil things. And we're supposed to not be associated with evil.
Right.
So, well, what happens here, we look at a code, we're supposed to learn about the devices of the devil, and I hate to say it, but you hardly hear that talked about in the church. You know, they say, oh, we can't talk about that. That's too negative. Well, if you're going to get something to work, you have to have positive and negative charges, or you don't get you don't get any power.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, you know, there's good and there's bad. There's kind of a balance. How do you know what's good if there isn't bad? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But with me, I'm along the Hebrew thought that you know, basic evil or bad is really just lack of good. You know what I mean? Or it's darkness is lack
exactly.
of light. Is lack of light. I'd like kind of like to throw. Do you? Would it be all right if I tell what I think about ancient evil? This little thing that I.
Go ahead. I'd like to. I always take notes on what everybody says because sometimes I learn.
Okay, here's my thoughts, and I wrote it out about ancient evil, because I didn't know where to start with your code, because I'm really doing some research, and I can interconnect these together, but I'm not going to go through the whole code, just ancient evil. My first thoughts on ancient evil, as a researcher, I look towards the meaning of the original words. While the concept of evil or bad comes with the Hebrew supposition that bad is merely the lack of good, sounds simple, and well, it really is. However, we can look into the word in which we find the word evil in our Bible comes from, and it's a Hebrew word called ra, or adversity. So let's look at the word, let's look at the word adversity and place ancient in front of it. But wait, before we do that, let's see what the word ancient means. Looking up ancient in Hebrew, we find that it basically is what we already know about the word, that it's primal, aboriginal, which all just basically means oldest, you know, old things, old. And so I would say it, far enough back, we could call it earliest of time or just simple, it's old. So now we have old adversity. Well, because it's used in such, using it in such a manner, using it as the word would be, more like a person. So we'll go old adversary. So if we go to old adversary, so this is where are we going? Okay, who is the oldest adversary in the Bible? Okay, well, we can find that. If you said Satan, you're correct. So let's look up Satan. Satan is Hebrew word meaning enemy or adversary.
Right.
Meaning a stray, distant, or sometimes devil. It's a figure appearing in the text of the Abrahamic religions who brings evil and temptation and is known as a deceiver who leads humanity astray. Okay, so I'm almost done. So let's look at Revelation 20. Well, I saw Revelation 20 says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So you have old and serpent and talking about the devil. So what is it? You have the old adversary, which is very simply the same as ancient evil, which is therefore in the Bible, and Satan is, even if you look at it without all that, Satan is our oldest adversary. So, in this, I believe that when you're looking at, and then you look over at the connections of your Bible codes, and you look at all of these words, every one of these words, what do they have in common? They have one thing in common. That's our oldest adversary, or ancient evil, which our oldest adversary is Satan the devil. And so this also, because these are end time things, some of these words that you have in this code are all, they're names of demonic things. Like, oh my gosh, I could talk for an hour and a half over Lilith. You know, and some of these other things, and then let alone that's in your newest code, and the other one that you had on it, you have the names of Rodham and Obama, and all these things are in it. This is an end time code, brother, and I believe that we're talking about end time evil roaming the earth, and where my brain goes with this is just beyond, because you've come up with some words that. I mean, they're all interrelated. I believe they're all interrelated with Satan, but they're interrelated in a way that fits the end time. Back to you.
Oh, you said a mouthful there, but it's very much... Actually, it's about where I was coming from with this, but you actually expressed it a little better than I did, and I will probably incorporate this, because, you know, the biggest thing is if you look... at the pattern of the code, especially I'm looking at the one that started all this, was the Germany codes, where we first ran into the term ancient evil. And when I put that up, that's when I started really getting questions. What are you talking about, Tom? Or some people say, Professor Tom, because one of the things you missed about my resume is I taught college two different places.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, brother, the more I looked around about you, I kept finding more and more, and I was trying to decide, what do I talk? I tell everybody about you for about 30 minutes, or do I get into the codes? But you really are super qualified to be doing the thing that you're doing. And, you know, and that's what the Father does, is he gives us people with the right backgrounds to do the things that he places us in. It's just like, you know, at one time you were a tax preparer, you know, a tax accountant. Well, you have to be really good with numbers for that. You have to be good with words and numbers and letters to do what you're doing with Bible codes. So it all fits. And plus you have to be a solid saved individual that recognizes evil, because, brother, let me tell you, I would not be surprised if you, with these new codes coming up, that you don't also get some attacks by some demonic things. Back to you.
That's been something that's been happening to me ever since I've done this. I had one accident that should have killed me. I was struck by a drag racing teenager doing 118, totally destroyed my SUV. And the cops came there. They expected everyone to be dead. There I was pounding on the windshield. I'm still alive, guys. And I've had my times. I've had some really tough times with it, but I've survived. And I spent 5 years in a wheelchair, you know, waiting until I could find a doctor that could fix me. Because what happened to me, that literally demolished my hip, and I had to find a doctor who could rebuild it, and that's one of the reasons I'm here in Colorado. Is one of the best doctors who does that is here in Colorado.
Right.
And so it's been there. I faced this many times, and I expect I will face it many, many more. It's just how it goes. You know, the guys on the TV show Supernatural have nothing on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to encounter evil. And if you don't, there's something wrong. And I mean, anybody who's done this for any amount of time is going to face what we're facing. Look at what happened to Donald Trump. He gets in there, you think it's over with. No, it's just started.
Yeah.
The poor man, I just...
Okay.
Every day I read this stuff, and I'm just...
Let me use this as an example for you, something that I need to express. You know, we're talking about Donald Trump, and in your code, we find Rodham. You know, and along with all these demonic names like Lilith and the rest of them. One of these days we'll just have to talk about Lilith for an hour. But the point I'm getting at with all these names, I believe that, you know, she represents, I haven't seen her personally, and I'd have to see her up close to know that she was possessed, but I have a knack for knowing that, a gift, if you will. But, she represents the ungodly and the demonic on what they wanted to do, what they want to do to this world, what Satan wants to do with this world. They're totally against Christianity. They're siding up with using for foot soldiers, Muslims, and like you have Allah is in this code and other things, and ISIL.
Yeah.
ISIL's in the code. Well, of course ISIL's in the code, because Hillary Rodham Clinton has a fact, we know, with Obama, started ISIL. In fact, we found out that now that Obama, we found from a prince in Saudi Arabia that Obama would not allow them to bomb ISIL and to attack ISIL. So the evidence is stacking up, things that we've talked about on this program for many times. But here's my point. So I believe that Hillary represents the one world government, the evilness that wants to take over completely the world and persecute all the Christians. That, and then we prayed, people here in the United States prayed, and I believe that the Father did raise up because he does appoint all, allow leaders to be appointed, that through prayer we were able to get Donald Trump. And so that then so much, look at them. They're so mad, just like the Bible said the devil would be. They're so mad because they feel like they only got a little while and they got to do something about it. And that's the exact thing with the devil, you know. He's mad because he knows his time is short. So that's why all of this, and I can pull all of these different things. I see these in the code with these words, this interrelation of words, and with the interrelation of some of these being demonic names and other things. And so and then the fact that you're saying to me that you never gained so much and you hadn't did so much in a while. Well, why are you all of a sudden receiving back to you?
Well, because this is the time. This is not just any time. This is the end time, and we're seeing it all come together. 2017 is going to be a big year. This is the 100th year of the Fatima apparitions. Now, one of the things I've learned over the years, Fatima was a UFO event.
Amen.
And if you look at the evidence, look at all the testimony, it was a UFO event. But
yes.
People didn't know it back then. And
not many know it now. A lot of deny it now. You know, they still think it's Mary. But, you know, you have a whole group of Christians that are sidetracked into believing in Mary worship, you know. But that goes
to Mariolatry.
Right, right.
And that is a nasty little demon if you ever run into him.
Yeah, well, I hope I don't. If he comes to your house, don't give him my address.
No, I just send them back to Tartarus and let them cook there for a while.
Yeah, amen. And this ministry, you know, we have dealt with demons many times. One time, brother, we were coming back after we had cast this demon out from this 12-year-old in Wichita, and that's an hour long story. But anyway, this part of the story is just real simple. One of my sons was a little baby, and so we had to stop on the road to use the bathroom. You know, it's a long way from Wichita to our home, which is 60 miles away. So we pulled over to use the bathroom. And so I get out of this, you know, minivan with my young son, and, you know, he's using the bathroom, and I notice my wife, she's clicking the lights on, clicking the lights off, clicking the lights on. Clicking the lights off. I said, what are you doing, you crazy woman? You know, I mean, I love her, but, you know, she's a woman, of course. And I'd probably get a lot of flack from you folks out there. I do all the time. But, you know, by the way, my wife says I treat women better than I do men. But anyway, so I get in and she said, I want to show you something. And the lights were on the van, you know, and so she shut the lights off. And my heart dropped to my toes. Standing right directly in front of the van was a dark black figure with one of those, you know, gangster type black hats. From what we could see, we couldn't make out the black fit. It was just all black. And you turn the lights on and it'd disappear. You turn them off and he was there. And he'd move around. It wasn't a shadow that we were seeing, you understand? And so I said, you know, I don't remember exactly what I said. I know we backed out of there real quick and hit back the road, you know. And so did we hear anything else? Well, a few days later, my wife went to back out of the driveway, and he was standing at the end of the driveway. She saw him in a rearview mirror, and she just pled the blood of Yeshua and ran over him. And after that, then we took and walked. We took oil and blessed it and walked the whole perimeter of our property, which was about four lots then. Now it's a half a block. But we did the whole perimeter with a bloodline, you know, and prayed it around the property. And that was kind of the end of that demon, you know, at least I think it was. But we've had many experiences with these manifestations. Back to you.
Yeah, it starts to sound like he had a Manitou visit. It's something that's pretty normal in in North America. You go anywhere else, they look at you funny, but they're dark beings. The Native Americans used to try to trap them and then get them to tell their fortunes.
Really?
In fact, up here in Colorado, there is a town called Manitou Springs. And so you can sort of figure out, why do they call it Manitou Springs? Because they go up there and try to call up one of those things. And trouble is, yes, they get him called and they get him to tell the fortune, but they don't do anything about him. And then suddenly you have a mess for a few days and a few people get killed.
Right.
And they try to cover it up, but it's, you know, you have to deal with those things. You have to, when you run into something like that, there's ways to deal with them.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, and a lot of people don't recognize that, and I've had since, so anytime somebody has a supernatural problem that knows me or whatever, somebody will tell somebody else, and they come to us. I can't tell you how many houses I've cleaned and demonic things that we did, but we've also did positive. You know, we lay hands on people and seen instant miracles, you know, of healing and brain tumors gone and so on and so forth. The Father has use of us, you know, and so, amen. You know, so this kind of thing that I'm dealing with now, I'm feeling something about it. I can't put my finger on it right now. I don't know why. I've now came, you know, upon you with this code, but there's something about it. Something's going on with it. Back to you.
Well, and you know, the other thing too, that's, you know, one of the other things I've done with the codes is I've had musical training, a lot of it coming from my mother. You know, her maiden name was Catlin, so there's a small connection there, but she taught me music, among other things. Also was responsible for the fact that I have some handle on the English language, because she was an old school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I found that I could convert the Hebrew letters to music. And I have a website called themusicofheaven.com.
I haven't had a chance to go over there, but I will. But you can find all of these from that one website. What was that website?
Right. But I wanted to tell people about that because there's some really good music up there, and it does things for people. I have one called The Music of Creation, and people have had headaches and everything else, and they disappear with the playing of the music. I believe that not only did God create us, but he gave us a map so we could use his code to fix people's minds.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, I wanted to say one thing on Lilith before I got done. One of the things that Lilith is sort of the mother of, by the way, one of her daughters is Malia. Now, where have you heard that name before? That's the name of one of Obama's children.
Yeah.
Why would you name your daughter for a vampire?
Really?
Because that's
really
what Lilith did. She infected these girls, and then these girls passed it on to other people. Because vampirism comes out of the Middle East. From the Middle East, it went up into Europe. And the most famous vampire was Dracul.
Yeah.
Or we know him as Dracula. And from Romania, it comes clear through the continent of Europe into England and to America. And that's the interesting thing, is we see this. We also see a god named Shamash. I don't know if I'm quite pronouncing it right.
Well, we're going to have to call it at that point. We're going to have to give your website. We've run out of time. I'm sure we'll talk again.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, we will talk again. Why don't you give them that one website, and then we're going to have to go.
Okay, let's start with Whitestone 5. thebiblecodesfoundation.org. Then there's biblecodes.co, themusicofheaven.com, antichristwatch.org. We didn't get a chance to talk about that one, but...
No, but we need to. We're going to talk some more about all of them. And if you go to the first one, the whitestone.org, is that what it was?
Whitestonefoundation.org.
Right. If you go to that one, you can find the other ones. But I got to go, brother. You be blessed. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Be blessed. All right, folks. Really, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. There's something to these Bible codes. I don't know what, but these are some very... I haven't did the code myself, so I don't know, but pray about it. You must remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Only through him. And what? How do you know him? He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Don't forget, Passover starts, it's actually April 11th, starts at dark on April 10th. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give you peace like no one or nothing else can. Bless them, Father. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.